My name is Amy Brandt. I'm an MPH candidate at Indiana University and the Department of Public Health. My presentation is about the impact of a preschool program that was designed to improve for development of lead poisoned Burmese children. I have no relationships to disclose. Dr. Krohn gave some great background about lead poisoning. Just to kind of build on that, as children's bodies are more sensitive to lead than adults, based on the fact that a greater amount of lead ingested by children is absorbed and circulated to the brain. The National Research Council Committee in 1993 issued a report that said, basically, children are not little adults, so we need to treat them differently. Several studies have looked at the impact of lead levels less than the set action level of 10. Even these lower blood levels have been shown to have a negative impact on children's IQ, cognitive function, and development. In American children age 1 to 5, NHANES found the geometric blood level mean to be 1.9 micrograms per deciliter. And the percentage of children with a blood level greater than 10 was 1.6%. Fortunately, these numbers are far less than the NHANES estimates from 1991 to 1994, and U.S. surveillance data reported that there has been a decline in the percentage of children younger than 6 with blood lead levels greater than 10. So the numbers are going down, but we still need to be concerned about it because, like she said, it's something that it's not really fixed for. We know so much about it, but it's not being fixed like it should. There has been evidence of elevated blood lead levels in refugee populations coming to America. A study in Massachusetts found that the blood lead level of refugee children was 2.7 times higher than American children, and a study in Rhode Island found that refugee children were anywhere from 3.7 to 5.8 times as likely to have an elevated blood lead level. Little is known about the exposure to the children in their countries, but evidence from the CDC points that it's happening to them once they resettle to America. 6 states with the highest numbers of resettled Burmese refugees collected data from 2007 to 2008. 13% of the Burmese refugee children aged 6 months to 5 years had elevated blood lead levels higher than 10. This is nearly 8 times higher than the prevalence of American children. Further investigation as to this potential source of the lead poisoning looked at the Thai refugee camps, and they found that the children in the camps had a lesser blood lead level than the children who resettled to the United States. The purpose of my presentation today is to assess and evaluate the effectiveness of the Targeted Assistance Preschool Program in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in improving the overall development of children in the areas of language, math, social skills, self-help, and motor development. So the Targeted Assistance Program, let's call it TAP for short, was designed for lead poisoned Burmese refugee children to overcome their developmental delays. Children enrolled in the program were Burmese refugee children who had elevated blood lead levels greater than or equal to 5 micrograms per deciliter. It should be noted that 78.9% or 15 of our children had a blood lead level greater than 10, which is higher than the set action level. We identified the children through the Fort Wayne Allen County Department of Health. In the program, children were provided with occupational speech, language, and physical therapies by staff from Parkview Hospital. East Allen County Schools provided physical education, transportation, a certified teacher, and a Burmese interpreter. The program followed the academic year set by the East Allen County Schools. The TAP program ran Monday through Friday for 5 hours each day. There was a 2.5-hour session in the morning and 2.5 hours in the afternoon. On Friday mornings, they were reserved for home visits and educational sessions for parents. Parents were provided with information on community resources, English language lessons, nutritional information for their children, flu shots, eye exams, and information on how they can help their child improve developmentally. A typical day in the program started with timetables to work on fine motor skills, language skills via cognitive activities. Then the children spent 20 to 30 minutes working on gross motor skills. After that was snack time, where children with high blood levels may see a decrease in appetite. So to overcome this, children were fed Pediasure and other snacks high in calcium to help decrease their lead poisoning as well. After snack time, children went to center time, where they could choose from a variety of activities such as dramatic play, writing, reading books, and other sensory activities. After center time, they visited circle time, where they received language lessons by reading books or having books read aloud to them. Before they left for the day, children had review time, where they just reviewed what they had learned for the day. All of the 19 children received weekly speech and language services based upon individual needs. Some students were evaluated and found to be in need of occupational and physical therapy, and all students attended a biweekly physical education course. Since most of the children displayed issues with auditory processing, the speech and language pathologist taught the parents techniques to use at home to help their children, and we did see an improvement in that area. So about the participants enrolled, all of the children were less than 5 years or less. They were, 10 of the children were 3, 6 were 4 years old, and 3 were 5 years old. 10 were female and 9 were male. All of the children were born in a refugee camp in Thailand, were Muslim and of Burmese ethnicity. 15 or 93.8% of the children lived in one apartment community in Fort Wayne, Indiana. 13 of the children lived with their core family, and 6 children lived with their extended family. 16 of the 19 children had a mother with only an elementary education. The children's fathers were still slightly more educated, with 6 having a high school education or higher, and 9 having an elementary level education or higher. The methods for our evaluation of this program is that children were assessed with the Indiana Standards Tool for Alternate Reporting for Kindergarten Readiness. That's what the ISTAR-KR stands for. It's a standard tool used across the state of Indiana that assesses all early childhood students with disabilities. The ISTAR-KR is aligned with Indiana core standards for kindergarten in the 5 areas of mathematics, English language arts, physical skills, personal care skills, and social-emotional skills. It's an electronic progress monitoring system that students or the parents would show how their child is developing and assess them on these certain areas. For the assessments, a kit was designed to test the students' understanding of concepts such as numbers, letters, measurement, reading, temperature, sizes, offsets, etc. Testing was conducted in a quiet classroom other than the classroom, and a Burmese interpreter was present to ask questions in English and Burmese, and the same interpreter was used for all of the assessments. Children were assessed at baseline, 4 months post-baseline, and 8 months post-baseline. Some children enrolled later in the program in January or February, so we only have baseline and 4 months post-baseline data on them. For majority of the students, the baseline assessment was done in fall 2010, the 4-month follow-up assessment was in winter 2010, and the 8-month post-baseline assessment was in spring 2010. Some results of the study are 10 students had a full school year of participation, which allowed, like I said, for baseline, 4-month follow-up, and 8-month follow-up assessments. The 9 children that started 4-year, we have baseline and 4-month assessment data for them. 15 of the 19 children had an initial blood lead level of 10 micrograms per deciliter higher, and the remaining 4 students had a medium initial blood level of greater than 5 but less than 10. A cultural lead hazard product assessment was done in their homes and respective environments to assess for potential sources of the lead poisoning, and a hazard was found for each one of these children. What we found was that for all of them, it was either they were exposed to it in their camps by way of batteries that contain lead to generate electricity in their camps, or it was a medicine that they would give to the children when they complained of gastrointestinal symptoms. So this table shows the average baseline ISTAR-KR percent achievement scores for the 16 students where we have baseline and 4-month post-baseline assessment data. As you can see, the students improved in all 5 of the areas, and they're all statistically significant. Like, for example, the math scores improved an average 17.7%, and language skills improved 22.9%. This next table demonstrates the improvements of 10 children from baseline to 8 months post-baseline. The improvements in all 5 areas are statistically significant, and math scores improved 32.7%, language scores improved 31.9%, and you can see the rest. This table represents the correlation between blood lead level and actual score at baseline and 8 months post-baseline. At baseline, all assessment areas were negatively correlated with blood lead levels, meaning the higher the blood lead level, the lower the score. It should be noted that the correlations are only weak to moderate, with only the social-emotional assessment area being statistically significant. At the 8 months post-baseline assessment, only one area continued to have an inverse relationship, which you can see is language. The higher the blood level, the worse the language scores were for the students. And none of these correlations are statistically significant. Which means that the TAP program, after being in the program for 8 months, the TAP program did show that the student's development increased. This table shows the correlation between blood lead levels and change in score from 4 months and 8 months post-baseline. The negative correlation coefficients indicate that as the blood lead level increases, the amount of change in the score decreases. Also stated, as those with the highest blood lead level values experience less improvement. At the 4 months post-baseline assessment, all five areas had negative correlation coefficients, and only the social-emotional area was statistically significant. As you can see, for the 8 month post-baseline assessment, four areas have negative correlation coefficients, but the blood lead level and social-emotional score was positive, indicating that those with higher blood lead levels demonstrated greater improvement in this area. Looking at the baseline scores, it is noted that the Burmese refugee children had significant developmental delays in math, language, and social emotional areas. Children tested a little bit higher in personal care and physical skills, but not as high as our ISTAR-KR recommends. An adjustment was made to account for the culture differences, since the ISTAR-KR is designed for Indiana-born children. And when Burmese refugee children came, we first noticed that they're not exhibiting the same kind of play behaviors that Indiana children do. For example, they didn't really have toys in their camps, so when they came here, they weren't sure what to do with them, and they didn't really talk to other children, so we made an adjustment when assessing that area. It was noted that those with higher blood lead level values tended to have lower scores in all five areas at 4 month follow-up, but in 8 month post-follow-up, there was no significant relationship between blood lead level and scores. Further analysis indicated that the children with higher blood lead level values did not demonstrate as much improvement as those with lower blood lead level values, indicating a possible inverse dose-response relationship. The TAP program appears effective since it increased development of the children so that the impact of blood lead level was lessened. Language scores still showed an inverse relationship at 8 months, but the children were being tested in English, which could account for this relationship. Some limitations of this study is our sample size is very small. We only had 19 children, and we only had 10 where we had 8 months worth of data collected. All of the children are from one area in Fort Wayne, Indiana, so caution is urged in making inferences to other locations or taking this program somewhere else. And we also used ISTAR-KR, like I said, which was designed specifically for the state of Indiana school system, so other states may have different methods of assessing their children. And our recommendations are that children with high blood lead levels should be provided with a targeted assistance program, such as the one I described here, to help them overcome developmental delays caused by exposure to lead.